My friends, today, of course, is Good Shepherd Sunday. The fourth Sunday of Easter every year is Good Shepherd Sunday. And every year we meditate on gospel from the 10th chapter of John's gospel, the image of Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. You know, for Jews of Jesus's time, they would have been very familiar with the image of God as shepherd. God, of course, shepherded them out of slavery in Egypt. God shepherding them through the desert. The Lord is my shepherd, that familiar psalm for all of us too, Psalm 23, but also Psalm 77, the Lord shepherds his people. One of my favorite, Ezekiel 34, I myself will search for my sheep and examine them as a shepherd examines his flock while he himself is among his scattered sheep. So will I examine my sheep. I will deliver them. And he goes on and shows us how intimately involved he is, this shepherd God. I will lead them out. I will bring them back. In good pastures, I will pasture them. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest. The lost I will search out. The strays I will bring back. The injured I will bind up. And the sick I will heal. This would have been a very familiar image to the Jewish people. It is in this background that Jesus speaks to the people of his time. It is through the same lens that he speaks to all of us here today. When Jesus said he was the Good Shepherd, he was making a very clear statement that he is the shepherd referred to in the Psalms. He is the shepherd referred to in Ezekiel 34. He is God. This would have been very clear to them. The Jews of his time would have understood what he was saying. But they may have been confused about what our Lord meant by good. How does Jesus say the shepherd is good? Perhaps they were hoping that by good he meant by strong, and that he would come and free them from the Roman occupying forces, that he would do this by force. But he tells them he does this by laying down his life for his sheep. In fact, he repeats this a number of times today, doesn't he? Jesus foreshadows his passion and death. He gives us his mission, that he came to die for you and for me, to conquer sin and death. The Good Shepherd is other-oriented. The Good Shepherd is devoted to others. He is good because he is love. In fact, as I've been saying these last weeks, God created the whole world out of nothing for one purpose, so he could love the human person within it. You know, we experience examples of this kind of love throughout our lives. Men and women giving their lives for our country. We honor these men and women. They are our heroes. Parents, of course, know this well. They lay down their lives every single moment of every single day for their children. It is natural. It is built into our nature to do so. So too, of course, with God, who's a good shepherd. But he even is more perfectly, he does this more perfectly than we do, because we are his. We are his beloved children. We are his beloved sons or daughters. You know, I love this 1 John, one of my favorite books in all of Holy Scripture, John's first epistle. He says, "Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us that we may be called the children of God, yet so we are." You know, God lowered himself. He took on our nature so that he could suffer and die for you and for me. This is radical. This is uniquely Christian understanding of God. This kind of love is mind-blowing. Yet it is true. It is true. Every day we ought to live in that fear of the Lord and that awe and wonder of what God has done for you and for me. You know, the Easter season, of course, is the perfect time to celebrate this kind of love. Holy Week, of course, we meditated on the greatest act of love in human history, our Lord's passion and his death. the sinless died for the sinner. Throughout this Easter season, this season of hope, then, we meditate on how we can better receive the gift, how we can receive God's infinite love for each of us, and how we can be better instruments of his love out in a world that is so increasingly dark. This is perfectly timed. It's also perfect timing that this would be the World Day of Vocation, a World Day of Prayer for Vocations, the day when throughout the Universal Church, every church throughout the world, every Catholic Church is doing this today, we publicly fulfill the Lord's instruction to pray the Lord of the harvest send laborers into his harvest. And appreciating all vocations, the church concentrates its attention today on the vocations to the ordained ministries of the priesthood and the diaconate, as well as the consecrated and religious life in all of its forms. It is fitting that the church proclaim the gospel of the Good Shepherd this day, for Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, shows us how to love. He is the model for everyone, of course, but in particular, he's a model for priests, deacons, and consecrated religious. It is fitting that this Sunday follows the last two Sundays that focus on the apostles hiding in fear behind locked doors. You know, this is a scary vocation. I think many are afraid to be set apart. It's fitting to follow the meditation on St. Thomas called Doubting. For many, just like Thomas, doubt that they could possibly be called to be set apart, called to bring about the kingdom in a particular way. It is fitting that we meditate on this extraordinary saint, for he required proof. Many of us require proof. We require signs. I certainly did. We require the signs to follow God's call. You know, it is fitting that this Sunday is in the post-resurrection cycle after Jesus tells the disciples to go to Galilee, to go to that place, to recall those times in which we have encountered the God of love and mercy. When we go to those places, when we go to those intimate encounters in our prayer, it is there that he will reveal to us his plan. He will reveal to us our particular vocations. Go to Galilee. It is fitting that we meditate on Jesus as our good shepherd after we meditate on the Eucharist, as we have been all week. We've been going through the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6 this past week at daily Mass. For it is through our priests that the Lord becomes truly present here on altars throughout the world, that he becomes reserved for our prayer and for the sick in our tabernacles, that he is adored here every Wednesday in our beautiful monstrance. Jesus is calling everyone here today, of course, to follow him. The universal call to holiness is not, of course, reserved for priests and deacons and religious. Yet he is calling us, calling some, I should say, to feed his sheep in a particular way, to follow him and to be set apart. Some men here, young and old, are being called to be his priests, to stand in his person, to be in persona Christi, so that others can receive Jesus Christ in the sacraments, in his word, and in love. Other men and women are being called to live out the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience in a particular way, to bring Jesus to others through holy lives and in prayer and acts of charity. These are the men and women that are squirming in their pews throughout the universal church here, right now here in Reston, perhaps, please God. For like Peter in the first reading from the book of Acts, they too are being called to proclaim the good news despite great opposition, perhaps even their own family members. It is, it took great courage, right, for Peter. It takes great courage for men and women of our time to respond to God's call to be set apart. But true courage is not the absence of fear. It is moving forward despite it. Going through great hardships and being like St. Peter, still filled with joy. You know, I too was completely convinced that I was called. I received extraordinary graces, but I had other plans. And in fact, I was very much consumed by worldly fear until I discovered 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out all fear. It opened my heart and my mind to the possibility that I could be happy being a priest. You know, love is always the answer, isn't it? Fall in love with Jesus. He will show you the way. You know, God's plan was certainly better than mine. I promise you, his plan is better than yours, too. You know, I love what Pope St. Gregory the Great said in today's Office of Readings, referring to the Lord's proclamation, right? I am the good shepherd. He goes on to say, I know my own, by which I mean I love them. To be known is to be loved. And then he says something perhaps surprising. He said, it's not by faith that you will come to know him, but by love. Of course, we are saved by faith, but we come to know him by love, to open our hearts up to his love. Anyone determined to reach his destination, he says, is not deterred by the roughness of the road that leads to it, nor must we allow the charm of success to seduce us, or we shall be like a foolish traveler who is so distracted by the pleasant meadows through which he is passing that he forgets where he is going. My friends, trust in the Lord. Again, his plan is better than yours. My friends, this Sunday celebration is not only for those men and women being called to be set apart for the kingdom. It is for their family members and friends. It is for their co-workers and classmates. It is really for our whole community, our family of faith. It is for the whole church. For we get the priests, deacons, and consecrated religious that we deserve. We don't pray, we don't get. We pray and we get. We pray generously and we get a generous response. My friends, if your particular vocation is not already determined, in other words, if you are not already living it out, please open your hearts and minds to the possibility that God might be calling you to be set apart in a particular way for his kingdom. It surprised me. It may surprise you. My friends, I would be remiss if I didn't end by simply thanking you. You know, the priestly vocation is an awesome vocation, but it's a difficult one. We could not do it. I could not do it without your help. So in my name, of course, in the name of all priests, if I could be so bold for all deacons, certainly our bishop, thank you, and may God be praised. Amen.